The gospel lesson from this morning, as you heard it read, and I want you to go home and finish it up reading from verses 36 to 43. This is where Jesus interprets this parable. Before I go to that, I want to highlight or read the reflection in your bulletin, if you would want to look at that as I read that. This is by Michael Green. Parables are signs of protest. Parables are not meant to pat us on the back, but to give us a kick in the pants. They are not intended to comfort us, but to challenge us and change us. Parables speak out against the status quo. Parables are demonstrators, waving signs of protest, speaking out against our ways of thinking, our traditional ways of experiencing and obeying God, our spiritual institution, says Michael Green. So, my question, how is your garden doing? How is your garden doing? I know Vic says it's plentiful, fruitful. Yes, always. You know, weeds. This passage of scripture, this passage of the gospel, I've never preached before. I've never preached this particular, I've preached in the different parts of the chapter, Matthew 13, but not about the weeds. Could you imagine Jesus telling this parable? This is 2,000 plus years ago. I mean, today we have Roundup, right? I mean, even with Roundup, we still kneel before the weeds, don't we all? We don't even kneel to pray, but we kneel before the weeds. I know you had a back, pulled your back, and I mean, so do we. I mean, we kneel before our weeds. The farmer said, when the servant came and told the farmer about the weeds that were growing with the wheat, he said, "Let the weeds grow. Don't worry about them. Let's just let it all grow till harvest, and then we can sort it out." A Lutheran preacher, Barbara Unbald, says, these parables about the sowing, she says, sowing seeds and leaving weeds must have sounded completely ridiculous to people who knew about farming. You know, you farmers, I mean, think about it. But she says, but come to think of it, would one shepherd really leave 99 sheep in jeopardy to go search for one that got lost? Jesus' parables that seem so simple and ordinary don't really make good sense at all, does it? To let the weeds grow with the wheat. Jesus is not a farmer, because farmers will say, well, I wouldn't do that way. Jesus is talking about life, isn't it? He's talking about the kingdom of God. He's talking about life. In this world, there is good existing alongside the bad. There are weeds among the wheat. The question for us is, what do we do about those weeds? I want you to go back to Genesis. Let's just look at Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve, men and women created in the very image of God, created especially to be in completely unique relationship with God. Yet we are also Adam and Eve listening to the serpent, biting into the forbidden fruit, letting disobedience and sin establish itself within our hearts and souls. Wheat and weeds. In this garden, there is both good and bad, isn't it? Wheat as well as weeds. Wheat and weed. Jesus' message is not just that there is undeniable sinful weeds in all of us. Jesus' message is also that there is hope. There is hope. Hope for us. And if you've gone 3 weeks, you come back to your garden, what kind of a situation that would be? You come back in August and you say, okay, this is too late. You know, if your tomato plant is only about that much and the weeds are about 4 feet, you would say, forget it. You know, it's end of August. It's going to be fall. We give up easily, don't we? But God is patient. God is patient. In this parable of weeds and wheat, we learn that God is patient. God is patiently waiting. Waiting for that transformation to happen. The transformation through Jesus Christ, through the cross. I know in real life, weeds do not turn good plants, right? I mean, that never happens. A weed is a weed, a plant is a plant, a wheat is a wheat. But through the blood of Christ, through the transformation of the cross, there is hope, isn't it? There is hope. We don't have to give up. There is hope. First of all, in verse 25, Jesus says, the enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat. And later on, he's interpreting this. In verse 39, Jesus tells us plainly that the enemy is the devil. All throughout Scripture, you see the evil one. Even with Jesus. Some modern Christians consider themselves too sophisticated to accept that there is a devil. And surely we all know that there is no creatures with horns and pitchforks. But the Bible declares that there is an intelligent, active, spiritual presence in this world opposing God, the goodness, His creation. But in God's great plan of salvation through Jesus, through the grace of God, there is redemption. There is salvation. Therefore, my friends, we know that God is patient. God is waiting. God is waiting for His children. patiently. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise. As some understood slowness, instead He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. He is patiently waiting for us. He does not give up just like we would do, looking at our garden with tomato plants about that high and weeds about 4 feet tall. God does not give up. He is loving, gracious, graciously waiting. Graciously waiting so that the plant will take root and grow and be fruitful. And that transformation only takes place through Christ. Through our Lord Jesus. Also, there's a great lesson here that God is the judge, isn't it? God is the judge. You know, the plant doesn't stand among the weeds and say, "Hey, I am a good plant, and that is a weed." You know, there are some good weeds. I won't go there. Anyways. But God is the judge. God is the judge. I want you to pause for a moment and picture with me. Picture with me this scene. If you watched, you know, Christ on the cross, Jesus on the cross, it would be, you know, vivid in your mind as you even read Scripture. There are three crosses and Jesus is in the middle. And the two thieves. And we would generally say, yes, the wheat and the two weeds, right? Yeah. But look what happens. Look what happens even at that last moment on the cross. There are two thieves. Yes, they talk to each other and they are telling Jesus and the crowd that was there listening to this conversation. The thief says, "Well, this man in the middle has done no wrong. But we, you know, the two thieves on this either side, you know, we deserve this. We deserve this. But this man in the middle did no harm, did no wrong." And he looks at Jesus and says, "You are the Son of God. You are the Son of God. Please remember me when you are in paradise." He accepts who he is. He accepts the sinful nature. He knew that he deserves the death penalty. And recognizes the saint, recognizes the Son of God in the midst of that. And Jesus looks at him. Jesus sees this man's heart, that repentance. Jesus sees the inside and knows this man truly is asking for forgiveness, is truly repenting of his sins, of what he did. And Jesus says, very simply, "You will be with me in paradise." Very simple. He does not say, "Your sins are forgiven, get up and go." No. "You will be with me in paradise." my friends, there is a judgment in the following scripture. The judgment day is coming. There is judgment. Lots of modern Christians have problems with the doctrine of the final judgment and the eternal punishment. They ask, how could a loving God do that? But the scripture clearly shares about what the end is. And God is preparing His people. He's preparing us, preparing the whole world, preparing all creation to accept that forgiveness and to have eternal life. This morning, as we leave here, are we just going to give up? You know, we've done this, we've done so many things wrong, we've sinned against God. The weeds seem so tall. But God has not given up on us. God has not given up on us. He died for us, for the forgiveness. All we need to do is accept that free gift. Accept that free gift and walk in the newness of life that God has for each one of us. At the final closing, I would like to share this story. A pastor shares this. He says he dreamed that he had died and was trying to get into heaven. When he approached the pearly gates, and Peter told him he needed 100 points to get in. Proudly, the minister said, I was a pastor for 43 years. Fine, said Peter. That's worth 1 point. Is that all? Cried the minister. Yes, that is it. Well, said the pastor, I visited a lot of shut-ins. And St. Peter responded, that's worth one more point. I worked with the youth. Well, okay, get one more point. St. Peter said, I worked with the Boy Scouts. Okay, got one more point. 4 points, that's it. St. Peter says, you need 96 more. Oh no, said the minister in panic. I feel so helpless, so inadequate. Except for the grace of God, I don't have a chance. Peter smiles and says, grace of God. That counts, 96 points. Welcome in. Thanks be to God for God's grace. For God's grace goes so far and beyond. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for your grace. We don't understand. We don't even know how much that means to each one of us. Lord, we thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the cross. Thank you, Lord, for your salvation. Help us, Lord, not to look at others, but, Lord, look at our own selves. Look at our own heart, our own garden. And yes, Lord, there are plenty of weeds. There is plenty. Lord, I pray that you would help us. Help us, Lord, with your power of the Holy Spirit. Help us to grow, be nurtured, to bear fruit. And through that fruit, Lord, that people will know who you are and your grace and your love for them. So help us, Lord. Help us to commit ourselves this day, to take that step of faith, to give it up, to receive that free gift of salvation. You take that step of faith to grow what you have planted in us, to nurture that faith, and to bear fruit, and to bring glory and honor to your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.